It's the diagnosis that no one wants to receive, but one that an estimated 1.3 million people face every year. Breast cancer is the most prevalent cancer in the world. It strikes women and men of every age and race. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Arizona Spotlight brings you Voices for the Cure, an opportunity for some of the countless people whose lives and loved ones have been touched by breast cancer to share their stories of courage, love, and hope. Next, Kimberly Hicks and Veronica Robles pay tribute to the memory of their friend, Brenda Loomis.
I met Brenda about 5 years ago. She worked at the school that my son attended, and we became fast friends.
It was hard not to become fast friends with Brenda, I think.
It was hard not to be a little afraid of Brenda and become fast friends with Brenda. She was tiny, but very intimidating, but very lovely.
And when you met her, she had already had breast cancer and had a double mastectomy at that point.
She was in remission. And soon after that, she was re-diagnosed. And that brought us even closer.
Yeah, that was really devastating, I remember, because she had been clear for, what, like 3 years?
I think it was between 2 and 3 years she was clear, and Brenda truly, truly believed she was going to fight this battle and win.
Mm-hmm. And so when she was re-diagnosed, everyone was devastated, I know, and it was really, and she was working at the preschool still.
She was working at the preschool. She had a great network of parents. We had a meal train for her. She had a great support network. How I jumped in and we became even closer. I took her to every single chemo appointment, and
you were incredible during that time. I remember it was, Brenda, she didn't have family here locally, and you stepped in and did all the things that a mother or a sister would have done. And you took her to every chemo appointment. And I remember, tell me about the mixtape that you made for her.
So the first chemo appointment we went to, of course, Brenda had done this before, so she wasn't quite as nervous as I was. And I was terribly afraid of uncomfortable silence on the way to the appointment. So I made her, what we called a mixtape back in the day. And I downloaded some fight songs for her. And on the way to her chemo treatment, we would play Eye of the Tiger. We would play the Pink song, some fight song. So I had about 6 songs that we would always play.
So what? I'm Still a Rock Star. That's what it was, because we were going to kick cancer's ass.
Yes,
right?
We were planning on that. That was the plan. So Brenda pretended to box on the way to chemo because she was really fighting hard to beat this disease. And so we started off going to chemo with a really positive attitude. Every time we had a great ride over there, when we did drive together, we just had fun. During her appointments, Brenda and I were so inappropriate with the physician. The physician knew we had to close the door upon entering the room because there was going to be some funny stuff going on, some funny story that Brenda would have to share with her physician, who also became a dear friend to Brenda.
Yeah. So are there any appropriate funny stories you can share about some of the things that she did?
Brenda and appropriate kind of don't go hand in hand. Brenda loved to love.
I mean, she was attractive and loving, and everybody wanted to be with her, and that included men.
Yes. She was such a magnet. When we went out, men were constantly attracted to her, dancing with her, having fun with her. And she ate it up. She pretended to be a little insecure. I think it was all pretend because there was no denying the attraction that men had to Brenda.
Yeah. And then, so after she was re-diagnosed, she, not long after that, didn't she lost her job?
She had some tough times, and she didn't have health care. So, you know, when we went to the appointments, we never had certainty that she was going to get the treatment that she needed. You know, it was a struggle to get an MRI and a CAT scan. She did it through some Komen funds and also through the generosity of some friends and family members.
Yeah.
You know, she would call out and people would donate money to her to make this happen. We all loved her so much, and it's what we had to do.
She was not going to accept that she was not going to get through this.
when she was doing in-home hospice and she barely could speak, she weighed maybe 80 pounds, had been in bed for maybe 10 days, I approached her and I said, Brenda, what do you think?
Yeah.
Are you still wanting to fight? And she put up her thin little arms in the air and she was boxing just as she did, going to the appointments, going to the chemo appointments.
Yeah.
So I know in my heart, she, to the very, very end, thought she was going to win this. And even when it was just the two of us, no one else could hear, I thought maybe she would accept that she was defeated. But she never did.
She never did. Because she was such a life force right until the very end. I remember, though, when I went to see her when she was in hospice care at home, and she was surrounded by family and people who loved her, and there still was this feeling like it was just surreal, because you just couldn't believe that, because she was only, how old was Brenda? She was 40, 41?
She was 42.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she was just too young.
Way too young.
Way, way too young. And just full of life. And she loved her fashion and her big earrings.
She did. Brenda did not leave the house without big earrings. She was very fancy. She mm-hmm. had to have great clothes and big earrings no matter what. And even the day I took her to her appointment, she was actually wearing big stylish earrings that I'm actually wearing today.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
I didn't know
I remember I took them from her because I didn't want them to lose them in the hospital. But I literally had to carry Brenda and put her in my car to take her to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she had earrings on.
Yeah. That was Brenda. Well, and I remember even though when she lost her hair and she had a beautiful bald head, she was that what I loved about Brenda is that she got eyelash extensions too, and she looked like the most beautiful
exotic.
Yeah, she really had an exotic look about her and was just still so beautiful, and those lashes were just amazing, made her eyes look incredible.
They really did.
Yeah. Well, so finally last summer is when we lost her.
Yes.
And
she was still fighting. Like I said earlier, she was, I could tell she was slowly not eating. She was losing weight. She continued to look weaker and weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I had noticed on the 5th of July, I had missed a call from the night before. It was about 11 o'clock, so I thought maybe, you know, she did not mean to call me. But 7:15 the next morning on July 5th, my phone rang, and it was Brenda Loomis, and who I actually called Luminary, so I'll refer to her as Luminary.
Mm-hmm.
So she called, and at 7:15, I knew if Luminary was calling me, there was a big problem. Brenda mm-hmm. liked to sleep in, so for my phone to be ringing at that time made me jump. And sure enough, she called to let me know that she couldn't walk. And she wasn't able to walk the entire night.
Mm.
And I needed to come pick her up.
Yeah, and that was when you picked her up and put her in the car.
That's
to
when
take
I
her
literally
to the hospital.
Picked her up, put her in the car, and checked her into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away about 25 days later. She was amazing. Even in hospice, while she was in the hospital, she had a champagne party and a mm-hmm. pedicure.
Yeah.
And everyone had to participate.
Yeah.
And we actually did that after Brenda passed. We followed her to the funeral home, and we said goodbye to her. There was about six of us friends that followed Brenda to the funeral home, said our last goodbye, and we went and had a pink champagne toast.
Yeah, that was the perfect way to honor her. She just had a real grace about her. She didn't get, nothing seemed to ruffle her.
Nope, it did not.
That's Kimberly Hicks and Veronica Robles paying tribute to the memory of their friend, Brenda Loomis. You can listen to other stories online on the Voices for the Cure page at azpm.org. Voices for the Cure is produced in association with Susan G. Komen for the Cure, Southern Arizona. More information is available online at komen.saz.org.